We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with the government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.
Christians have to be involved in politics. God commands it.
Every turn of event through history hinged.
One person will stand up.
Upon a single person.
And then everybody else will stand.
A gym member, surrounded by a crowd of supporters, was placed in handcuffs.
A Tampa Bay pastor has been arrested.
Sentenced to a week in jail.
She also tore up a cease and desist letter.
We have a posterity waiting for us to say, we will not comply, so you will be free. We have a chance to fight without bloodshed. But every time we comply, we establish a future where our children will not have that option.
Why do we sit down when all should be standing? And why do we back down?
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. So happy to have you guys with us here today. What a big, big day it is today.
Amen.
And many, many things happening today. Do you know what today is in history, JC?
What's that?
Today is the day that Rosa Parks said no.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
1955, December 1st, Rosa Parks said, I will not comply with this unlawful law, this unconstitutional law in my state. She said, I didn't board the bus to get arrested. I boarded the bus to go home. But this was a day when she would choose not to comply. And what a difference peaceful noncompliance has made in America today.
Amen.
That's why our movie, Noncompliant, which you can see, let me put that up there, at noncompliantmovie.com, is such an important and timeless movie. It is the power of the people to say no. And you had the trailer up there as the buffer before we got started. And it's just amazing when you think that was 1955, JC.
Wow.
You know what? She didn't need a Supreme Court judge to tell her it was unconstitutional.
Right.
She didn't need a governor or a legislator or a president to give her permission to say no. As a citizen of a state, as a person whose individual rights are to be supported, defended, and protected by those in government, she has an unquestionable authority to determine whether laws are constitutionally based or not. And inherent in that authority, she has the right to say no.
Amen. Awesome.
So good, there's some history there for you guys.
Well, big day.
To help you start that over that conversation.
Big day in Washington, D.C.
Big day
today.
In Washington, D.C.
Some landmark arguments taking place for the first time on the issue of the right to life for the first time in.
I would say the first time in decades, not for the first time, but for the first time since Casey. Yeah. Since the 1960s, we have not seen arguments like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really encouraged. I know we're going to get into the arguments a little bit later, but I was, to be honest with you, I was encouraged by some of the questions that Kavanaugh was asking, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Especially because Kavanaugh's questioning directly conflicted with popular ideology of precedent? It is not surprising those questions did not come from Amy Coney Barrett, but it is very interesting that Kavanaugh brought up those questions. So we'll talk about that later.
Maybe Barrett will listen.
Maybe
Kavanaugh can convince Barrett
maybe
to follow the law rather than precedent, to follow
maybe
even what's right more than precedent.
Gorsuch is rubbing off on Kavanaugh in a really good way.
Imagine if you can get all three of the new conservative justices to actually stand up for the Constitution and stand up for liberty. That would be phenomenal. It really would be landmark in that case.
It would be landmark. And boy, so it would be.
I'm praying that God aligns that.
There'd be some melting snowflakes if that happened.
With what I've seen, on the ground, I'm going to share some pictures, some eyewitness reporting from D.C. And what I've seen on the ground, I had a friend texted me some pictures. And I have to say, matter of fact, let's bring Molly on, and I'll tell Molly. I was in my truck. Welcome to the show, Molly Powell.
Thank you for having me.
Susan B. Anthony list. Molly, those pictures that you sent me, I have to say, I was weeping in my truck.
Oh, that's such a blessing.
I'm telling you, I've been emotional ever since. I still am. And I looked at that. And the ones I'm going to show, we'll show the audience, but the ones, and I mentioned to you, you know, it's good to see those particular ones. When I saw those particular pictures, my immediate reaction was God is on the move.
Yeah.
I mean, there is even something bigger here going on than really what those justices might say, what
right.
the attorneys are arguing. There's actually, so, I mean, I'm not trying to set up for defeat or whatever. To me, it's not about the court. What you sent me was bigger than really anything going on inside those courtroom walls, because I felt like, okay, I don't care what they do. There's somebody else doing something that's a lot bigger. They may not have the final word. They won't have the final word today, but I know who will. And I was super encouraged.
You know, JC, what we learn and what I teach from history is significant. Even in this day, you said, I'm not trying to set this up for some kind of failure, but something. But here's the thing. What we learn when we look through history and the battle for liberty is that you have to learn to define victory a little bit differently.
Sure.
Can I remind you a very important court case that happened in February of 1761, where James Otis Jr. was the first man to stand against, to publicly stand, boldly stand against the government's actions contrary to the rights of the people. He was the first one who didn't hide behind a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And in that courtroom, he lost.
Right.
In that courtroom, by the judge's decree, he lost. But in that courtroom that day, society changed. A movement was birthed, as so much so that the founders of America called James Otis Jr. and what happened that day to be the midwife to liberty. So it's never really about what the government does.
Right.
It's always about how the people react. And what you're about to show us, those pictures, are indicative of what they saw coming out of the courtroom of February of 1761.
And I'm still believing for a good, you know,
absolutely.
A good result in the court. But so, Molly, tell us, you're there in D.C. You were at the Supreme Court. Tell us what's going on. So you were there at a gathering outside. Mm-hmm. Tell us what was happening there. First off, what is Susan B. Anthony List? What is that about?
So we're the biggest pro-life organization in the United States. And what we do is help candidates get elected who are staunchly pro-life. Mm-hmm. And so I do that in Florida. I help candidates who are pro-life. So we all packed up from all over the United States, all the field directors, the field teams to come in for this case that we were going to support outside our conviction, which is life begins at conception, and support Lynn Fitch, the AG for Mississippi, who brought right. this. Mississippi passed this in 2018 to ban abortion after 15 weeks. And they have asked the Supreme Court to uphold that the people decided, and they want the confirmation from the court.
Awesome. So you guys gathered the field direction. Now you're a field director from an area in Florida. So a lot of the field directors and the teams and workers from Susan B. Anthony List, along with, I noticed many other groups and many other individuals were there in front of the Supreme Court supporting the inalienable right to life.
Yes, there were groups whose names I have never even seen. They must be new.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are the largest group around the country, you've probably bumped into everybody out there at some point or time.
Yep, and there are a lot of new faces. And I'll tell you, I'm 54.
That's encouraging in and of itself, the exactly. lot of new faces.
Yeah.
So the people who were 50 and older were outnumbered 4-1 by people under 30.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's what I noticed. Let me see.
That's the counterculture JC and I have been trying to tell people actually exists in America today. This counterculture to who the media and the politicians want to put up, represent our young people, all these anti-God, anti-life, you know, millennials that they put up there. What you saw is really a picture of what JC and I have been seeing as we travel around the country. These young people who are coming forward in defense of life and liberty.
Yeah. So let me pull up this one. I think I have in there that not that one. Let's see. I'm not sure I uploaded that one. You know, I think I even missed that one. I didn't even upload that one. So there was one that you sent. Speaking of the young people, so in the foreground, it was kind of sad. So in the foreground, the one said, "I mourn my sibling lost to abortion." And then you notice in the background behind that that particular poster, there's a ton of young people, and there's one young lady carrying a small sign that says, "I am the post-Roe generation." So there's just tons of, and she looks like maybe 20, early 20s at the most. Mm-hmm. But there's tons of, like teenagers and 20 somethings, millennials, younger generation. You know, millennials get a bad rap. We talk about the counter millennials, the liberty millennials as we travel that aren't the David Hogs of this world. So there's a huge young generation supporting life. Is right. that what you're seeing out there?
A lot of times, when I'm talking to my canvassers, and mostly I hire people who are 25 and younger, you know, why they're pro-life, they haven't been able to really articulate it. And so I'll ask them, did you grow up with your ultrasound on your refrigerator door? Your mom or your dad, or they both put that up there because they were so happy
right.
they wanted to have a baby. And that technology was the game changer.
Right.
So they will acknowledge, I did. You know, I knew that was a baby. It was me. So there's no denying it.
You know, it's amazing little things like that that can have an influence. I remember reading, you know, along those lines that kids who are taken to patriotic parades and kind of patriotic events are more likely to be conservative, support liberty, things like that. So just very, very small things that you can do as a parent just to put your values on display. And I think that's so key. People get wound up about really complicated activism. I don't know what to do. I don't have the arguments. You know, I can't articulate this. I can't say this thing. You know, I can't speak like you, Chris Ann. How about hanging the ultrasound on the refrigerator? Can you do that? I mean, simple stuff like that of putting your values on display to really counter the stuff that's coming at your kids every day. So that's pretty exciting stuff. Now, besides the young people, so this is what blew me away. I kind of flashed it up there already. And this just had me really beside myself. So here's one of them. And a young person. And the sign says LGBT plus Democrat standing for life. And then here's another one. Queer atheist pro-life. And then there was a third on her sign. It says, call me an extremist, but I think dismembering is wrong.
Dismemberment.
Dismemberment is wrong. And then you, if you look at the very bottom of her poster, it says secularprolife.org. So it's going to be really hard for Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo to sit there and talk about, oh, this is just a bunch of rabid right-wing Christians.
Well, Chris Cuomo's been fired, so.
Oh, fantastic.
Chris Cuomo
My
has
day
been
just
in,
keeps getting better and better.
Chris
this
Cuomo today was indefinitely suspended from CNN for ethical misconduct.
This may be part of this, the CEO's desire to want to have actual journalists at CNN.
I'm just sort of happy that I knew about a non-legal piece of news before JC does. JC's always in
Molly's
front
fault.
Of me on this stuff.
That's
so
Molly's
like...
fault. It's Molly's fault. I've been crying all day. I've been weeping all day. I haven't paid attention. It's Molly's fault. No, but, you know, so forget Chris Cuomo. So Don Lemon, I mean, that kind of undermines the narrative. Oh, it's just a bunch of right-wing Christians. Who cares? And here's what's funny, Molly. Not too long ago, I was reading somewhere where, I don't know why, Roberts was having some discussion, and people don't like Roberts there, pretty sure. But he said something to the effect, in this Roe v. Wade argument, he said something to the effect of not wanting to, you know, upset society. He pretty much said, well, society has kind of determined this matter. Who are we to go in the opposite direction? And this is one of the reasons why it hit me. You were sending those things. It was like God stepped in. Oh, okay. That's your argument. Boom. I'm going to flip society. Now you have Democrats, LGBT Democrats, unbelievers, atheists here standing together side by side with believers fighting for the inalienable right to life.
Yeah, right.
Incredible. What do you have? Is there anything else to say about that?
I know, right? Seriously.
I mean, how did that strike you when you saw that out there?
It's incredible. You realize the technology has helped destroy the narrative, right? That it's a clump of cells and they could deny all of this. And it really, really helps our side because those people were standing with us.
Yeah.
There were two barricades of fences. And they felt safe enough with us. They were very unwelcome on the other side, even though LGBTQ is over there. They came and they were with us and they were welcomed. So that is one thing that we're very mindful of. We're inclusive. You know how they always say they're inclusive?
Sure.
No, pro-life are inclusive. They were welcome to be with us.
And you and I know that's pretense. You and I know that's nonsense.
Yeah.
Apparently, the people that they manipulate with that narrative are figuring out it might not be true.
Absolutely. I think one of the things today that was so shocking is the statement by the liberal justices that overturning Roe would undermine public confidence in the government and the apolitical high court. I can barely make it through that sentence without bursting out laughing. One, confidence in government.
All time low.
Absolutely. Apolitical high court. It's been nothing but political.
Right.
And you know, the decision, and JC and I'll talk about this later, I'm sure, the decision is political either way. It began political. From day one, Roe was a political opinion, and I can destroy that in about 45 seconds. And so, once again, though, I do want to go back to the real victory here at hand. You know, the Supreme Court, the liberal justices didn't want to hear anything about, you know, a baby's life or anything. They didn't want to hear anything about that. The problem with that is, they can't silence what's happening outside.
Amen.
They can't stop people from seeing what is happening outside. And everybody outside, the LGBT pro-life, the secular pro-life, the vast number of up-and-coming leadership generation pro-life, is going to be the tidal wave that overcomes them, regardless of what the opinion it will be today. And you know, we're going to see more and more changes from a cultural level with this being the message that you're seeing outside. Regardless of what the court is saying, the culture as a whole is going to start to navigate more towards pro-life choices.
Right.
You're going to see more people opting for adoption. You're going to see more people saying, I can give a gift from life. Even if I can't keep that life, I can give that gift of life. When we start thinking as a culture differently, as a life instead of just selves.
Let me ask you this, Molly. What was the feeling amongst the people in the group? So are people hopeful?
Like, optimistic?
What was the conversation around?
Very optimistic. And I'll tell you, even if we are not successful with this, we've opened up more eyes and hearts every time we do things like this. Look, the March for Life every single year in January has a complete media blackout. But
yes.
Pro-life is gaining momentum despite what the media is doing. And if you ever go in January and you see how many kids are there, it just literally, I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit's just all over you the entire time. You know, you have a lump in your throat. You're just so hopeful that this generation's going to get it. And all I'm doing is trying to guide, you know, mentor my canvassers. They don't really know that I'm doing that, but you know, I'm mentoring them. I won't be able to do this for very much longer. So they need to carry it for me and keep on going with it. And it's just such an important thing because God, this breaks his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's such a burden for everybody who actually works for Susan B. Anthony, but we're also, like Andrew Breitbart, happy warriors. So it's such an encouragement every time we get together. And then just to see all these people coming together that have no background together that would unify them with us.
Right.
And yet we're standing together.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, JC and I haven't been to one of those yet. Maybe this year we'll try to make it up there.
Absolutely.
We can come lock arms with you guys.
So
that would be fantastic.
You guys have a March for Life coming up in January. Is that correct?
Correct.
What date is that? What the parameters for that?
I think it's the 18th, but I'm probably wrong on that. But it's one day and they bus in school kids. There's colleges there. I mean, it's
incredible.
Do
you know what day of the week it is?
This obviously, I mean, obviously be out once that happens and that'll be out everywhere. So you guys are... what is Susan? What is the website? I forget.
It's our website is sba-list.org.
Okay. sba-list.org. And obviously all the details for that, will be up there at some point. And you guys had some articles there today about this event and the issue at hand. So SBA list, you're putting that up there, dear. sba-list.org, Susan B. Anthony List.
You got it.
You guys can go there and keep track of what this great organization is doing around the country and in your area. Hello, my mic worked. Yeah, we're working. So you can, sorry, I was looking at hers like, I don't have any sound. Sorry, wrong one. So sba-list.org for those of you who listen to us on the audio podcast. Go there, find out what Susan B. Anthony List is doing around the country. Field directors, undoubtedly, there is a field director close to you who could actually use your help in canvassing, use your help in doing the work that they do. I know that Molly does a great job. We have a lot of volunteers and workers in our area that work hard for those guys. And we're honored to be in the same area where you are with such great, great people doing great work. And I'm telling you, I had the same impression of what you just said, the impression I had, particularly when you sent me those pictures. And I immediately thought, wow, This is a lose-lose for the other side.
Absolutely.
This is a lose-lose for them. Today, they will lose, period. Regardless of what the decision is that comes from those justices, today is a loss for their side. Because if inside the court does not go the way that we like it, they are only going to throw fuel on the fire that's already been burning. They will only drive this generation further in the direction of standing up for the individual right to life. Because like you said, every time anything like this happens, it's just more exposure. It's free media.
Right.
Whether they like it or not, they have to cover it. It's free media. They've yet to be able to control the internet. They've yet to be able to control every aspect of even social media.
Right.
The stuff's out there. And clearly, I bet they would love to figure out how all of these young people are being drawn to the dark side. They can't even figure that out. They don't even know.
Well, because they're being drawn to the light, because
exactly.
The light is more attractive than the dark. And we're just so happy. And I think what you said, Molly, earlier was really the key, because technology has been the game changer for this.
Yeah.
It's why heartbeat bills have been so successful. It's why ultrasound bills have been so hated by the other side, because they realize that our young people are a generation of technology, and you cannot dispute. I remember seeing my first 4D, 3D ultrasound and thinking, this is a game changer. You are now putting a face. It's not some blurry blob. You're putting a face. You can't deny life when you put a face on something.
Amen.
Well, you know, that's the thing, how, you know, they try to pigeonhole the movement. You're some radical religionist. And then they throw out, you know, the goofy argument, the goofy pseudoscientific argument in Roe.
It's just a fingernail.
And then now that's what's coming right back at them.
Right.
The very argument that they tried to use is being undermined using the same thing that they pointed to and bowed to as the determiner of this argument has now been flipped on them, and they have nowhere to go. That's why you hear what's going on in this court today and all the arguments about the compelling interest and blah, blah, blah. They're chasing their tails.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be an epic, epic fail for them today. And the dominoes are falling.
Absolutely. And it's exciting to see it happening. It's exciting to see everything that's happening. It's exciting to know that regardless of what happens in that courtroom,
amen.
The
so
world
appreciate
has changed.
You. Molly, still there? I think
she
kind of froze
up for us.
All right, Molly Powell, ladies and gentlemen, epic, epic day. Good stuff. Phenomenal. Susan B. Anthony List, remember sba-list.org, and you can keep up with what they're doing. So, You want to get into some of the specifics, some of the arguments. It was interesting. I just heard some brief snippets of things going on, and you know what I heard was the typical compelling governmental interest and some of the, you know, judicial nonsense, kind of the court nonsense that these lawyers have been handed the framework and they argue within the framework. They seem to me never to get to the issues at hand are not going to be argued on the one hand. And then on the other hand, as you pointed out, the leftist justices, the typical leftist justices, don't want to humanize this argument any way whatsoever.
Right.
They're staying away from the baby or the rights of the baby or the life or anything like that. They're trying their best
right.
not to bring in a human argument in this because they know they lose on that.
Well, there's an article on my website, ChrisAnnHall.com, called The Inalienable Right to Life. And if you go and read that article, The Inalienable Right to Life, at ChrisAnnHall.com, you'll get an understanding as to what are the defects of the whole Roe v. Wade opinion from the beginning. Because the whole thing is, as Molly said, you know, the liberal justices are like, we can't be a liberal court. We can't be a political court. Well, too late. Roe was a political decision. And when you read my article, The Inalienable Right to Life, what you find is that Roe is based on bad science, and it is based on a fallacy of legal logic. It is actually a crafted case that is a case that is judicial activism from the get-go. It's no different than the judicial activism that was used to, you know, for the other cases that have come before the Dred Scott case. It's the same mechanism to get to what the court wants to get to. And Casey came along afterwards and narrowly, you know, pushed it in a different direction. But you see, I had mentioned to you one of the things that was really encouraging to me was a comment by Kavanaugh, and I hope that I can find it here. Right. Okay. So this is Kavanaugh's comment. Now, remember, this is all about precedent, because you have a case that has been decided by the court many years ago that has dictated. So what we're talking about, you'll hear terms like stare decisis, you'll hear terms like precedent. And what they're really saying is, we decided this already, so guess what? We have to stick with this, right? And so here's what Kavanaugh says. Quote, if we think that prior precedents are seriously wrong, if that, why then doesn't the history of this court's practice with respect to those cases tell us that the right answer is actually a return to the position of neutrality? So you have Kavanaugh saying, if we recognize that past decisions were wrong, there's no reason for us to continue supporting those past decisions. We're not asking you.
Kavanaugh said this. That's fascinating, because that's the same. Remember, Gorsuch made that very argument. I forget the case now, but he made that same argument.
Yes.
Not more than what, 3 or 4 months ago.
Yes. In a religious liberty case.
I believe so.
Yeah. It was the religious liberty case. In which Gorsuch was the only one. That's why I said maybe Gorsuch is beginning to rub off on Kavanaugh, and this is a really, really good thing. And so what we're seeing here, as many say, and I talked about this before, I think it was on Victory yesterday, what we're going to get is not a decision today, obviously, but what we see then is how the courts respond to the arguments. The most valuable thing you get in this stage of the game is, what are the questions, what are the statements of the justices to each of the counselors to find out how the justices are thinking? Because the questions they ask allude to how they're thinking. And when you have the liberal justices who are saying, you know, well, we're, you know, avoiding the whole life thing. This is not about a life thing. This is about precedent. This is not. They're going to start gearing it to that.
Unless it's Thomas. He usually doesn't ask questions. I wonder if Thomas asks questions. That would be unusual. I have to look. But
yeah.
He doesn't usually say anything.
Yeah. Well, what you have is a situation now where they have made precedent the law.
Right.
And so the justices, you have the liberal justices, and I'm not sure how Barrett is responding to this, but Barrett is completely and totally married to precedent.
Yeah, she,
it'll be interesting to see how she goes on this.
She's the most dominated by precedent.
But if they get to the point, right, what Kavanaugh is saying, we don't have to be pro-abortion, but we don't have to say abortion is a right either. We can be neutral to this. And this is how they do this. And what's amazing, JC, is
neutral means essentially, listen to what he said, neutral meaning basically send it back to the states.
Send it back to the states, right? Well, this is how this works. It's exactly what you said, JC. And I always get this vision of Haman's gallows, right? Mm-hmm. So they've built their own gallows. So here's the thing, the whole argument around the compelling governmental interest, what you have to do, what the justices can do who want to find in favor of this Mississippi law is they don't they're not going to change Sotomayor. They're not going to change
Kagan,
and they're not going to change Breyer, mm-hmm. right? Now, Roberts will go with the winner because he
is going to change that guy.
Well, no, he's going to go with whoever's going to be the winner yeah. because he is a political prostitute, right? So he's going to be on the winning side. He's not going to be on the opposing side. So you can just swipe him out, right? But you have to show...
Worst Chief Justice ever.
You have to show, in more ways than we can talk about on this show, you have to show Thomas that this is a state issue, which is not going to be difficult, but Thomas likes
I think Thomas power. Is a lock.
Yes.
Thomas
so
is a lock.
You have to show Kavanaugh, and you have to show Barrett, okay? Because I believe Gorsuch is a lock, too. So the two that are going to find in favor of Mississippi are going to be Thomas and
Gorsuch. For sure.
Now, here's the other thing.
In our opinion.
Alito. Alito will follow the conservatives.
I feel pretty confident in Alito.
Alito will follow Thomas, especially if Thomas and Gorsuch are on the same side. So your two swing votes at this point are Kavanaugh and Barrett. Now, Kavanaugh is already leaning in and telling us what he's thinking.
Yeah.
We need to make this a states' right thing. Now, this, by the way, JC, pulls the heat lamp off of them, right? If they craft this properly,
they can pass the buck.
They can pass the buck.
They see giving it to the states as right. passing the buck.
Because otherwise, if they come out and they overturn Roe v. Wade, then the courts become the bad guy, and all the liberal whack jobs and all the liberal politicians, they turn it into, now they're going to turn it into a political campaign anyway,
sure.
but they'll really turn it into a political campaign. We need to overturn the majority in the Senate so we can pack out the Supreme Court and change the Constitution the Supreme Court.
You see them basically... trying to play this so they can make the narrative. No, we're not overturning Roe v. Wade.
No, we're clarifying.
We're just saying
right.
this is a state issue.
Right.
The states have the right to do blah, 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 blah.
Which
blah.
Is not contrary to Roe or Casey, okay? So what you have to understand is...
nobody's going to come out. Neither side is going to come out and be talking about outlaw.
Right.
Nobody's going to use that
and
language.
Roe...
outlaw abortion.
Contrary to what most people think, Roe... and Casey never said that states could not create laws limiting abortion.
Right.
So the left is all
they just made the front. Here's your stipulations. Here's your boundaries.
Right.
It's trying to be controlled. And you gave handles.
Right.
Which the federal government took. And, you know, and the pro-abortion is now used as a bludgeon ever since.
Right. Because
but that also
but
gives
it is
the
an inco-
window for.
Right. It's an incorrect bludgeon because most of the politicians. Even the pro-life politicians will claim that they have no authority when neither Roe nor Casey ever said any of that. Okay. So here's how the judges can eat their cake and have it too. Okay. So here's what they say. This is how it works. There's a compelling government. We recognize that the state has a compelling governmental interest to protect life.
The state
has a compelling governmental interest to protect life. Because this is not about, by the way, this is not about the federal government. Can we just be clear? This case does not even involve the federal government. Roe didn't involve the federal government. Casey didn't involve the federal government. This is not a decision on what the federal government can and cannot do. The federal government is not at issue here. There is no law created by Congress about abortion. There is no law created about Congress about defining life. This has all happened in the courtroom. This is all still a state issue. There's no federal conflict here.
Would you say there's not even, there's, if you're going to be it really aligning with the Constitution, this case shouldn't even be happening in the federal system?
No,
this
case actually falls outside of Article 3. Article 3 of the Constitution is what creates and defines judicial power. Article 3 defines judicial power in a very general form, everything federal.
So in a perfect world, they shouldn't even be, they don't have any business telling Mississippi what they can or can't.
In a constitutional world, okay, not perfect, but in a constitutional world, this is a state, it is an issue that falls outside the judiciary, because the federal judiciary was specifically and intentionally excluded from jurisdiction involving
matters
between two citizens of the same state and matters between citizens and their own states. So anything that happens within the framework of the state of people or people against their own state was specifically and intentionally excluded from federal court jurisdiction.
Which seems,
so it shouldn't even be in the courts.
Which seems in the realm, I don't give this much credit to Kavanaugh, but it certainly seems within the realm of what he was implying, that, you know, this, when he used weird terminology. He uses the phrase democratic process, left to the democratic process of the state. Maybe that's what he was trying to get at, saying, hey, the state made a law, it's their legislation, and the people of that state should determine their own legislation. If they passed it, then that's their business. It's
right.
It's not our business. It's not a federal.
Well,
issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's trying to say that.
No, Kavanaugh, there is no way on this God's green earth that Kavanaugh is going to say the federal court doesn't have jurisdiction.
We'll interpret it that way,
yeah,
and say, let's go with that.
Yeah, there's no way.
Good job, Kavanaugh.
He does that. But here's the thing. This is how the court can do this. I don't know if this is what they will do, but this is how the argument can be framed so Kavanaugh and Barrett will come on board. So we are not this is how the argument is framed. We're not overturning Roe. We're not overturning Casey. We're just saying that the state, we're recognizing, as Roe and Casey did, that the state has a compelling governmental interest here. Now, if the state is going to exercise a compelling governmental interest in the defense of life, then here's the language that they use. We must balance that compelling governmental interest with the rights of the woman, right? Now, you and I know that that is a false argument. But remember, we're not trying to create the right argument. We're trying to create an effective argument to get the precedent people on board. So you say, we're not overturning Roe. We're not overturning Casey. We're recognizing that the state has a compelling interest, but we have to balance that compelling interest. And here's what we'll tell you to the state. If you're going to create laws to limit abortion, then you must do so in a way that it doesn't create an undue burden on the rights of the individual. For example, if you're going to make laws to restrict abortion, then you will have to provide services at the state level to provide health care for the women throughout their term of pregnancy. You will have to have a system within the state to financially assist women who would have otherwise been able to have an abortion, who are not able to have an abortion. If the law restricts that, then you're going to have a system within the state to finance, to take care of the health of these women through term. Then you're going to have an efficient and effective means of adoption or an orphanage system or something like that. So they're going to be told you're going to have to weigh the compelling governmental interest in order to achieve the legality, the constitutionality of your law. And so there are a lot of different things that we can talk about, JC, about, you know, the strict scrutiny and the reduced levels.
No,
but that's really kind of wonky stuff.
No, it's crazy the ways that they go, the way they talk about this stuff. They always seem to me to miss the point. Like,
right.
It never seems to get to a real issue. It's all this sort of legal weirdness to me. Like,
right.
What are you even talking about?
Well, I think most people see it as a legal weirdness.
It is.
And that's why it's not really something that we have to get into. I mean, we're not here to deliver some meta message or anything. So I do want you to understand the functionality of Roe and Casey. I do want you to understand that the courts are going to want to look for the path of least resistance.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing they don't have a backbone.
Yeah.
That seems like the one common thing with few exceptions with these justices in the courts.
Yeah.
They don't have backbone.
No.
So they're always looking at this sort of mealy-mouth.
They've become political.
Yeah.
So whenever
you're political, just do what's right.
When you're political instead of constitutional, then you have to be concerned about politics and how you look towards that.
So Molly texted me this. I didn't know this. Let me bring Molly in as we head toward the end. So Thomas actually broke his silence right off the bat. So
yeah, this isn't the first time Thomas has broken his silence.
But it is
unusual. Can I just mention that since the passing of Scalia,
he's been more vocal.
Yes. So I think that in reality, I think that Thomas, in a sort of judicial way, was
giving deference,
valued Scalia and was giving a respect to Scalia. I think maybe he thought I couldn't ask any questions better than Scalia would. So there's no point in me taking up the court's time.
So Molly, what did you make of his line of questions? I found it very interesting. I know people like to kind of get a sense of where these guys may be headed.
I think it's encouraging. I think they're opening the door, his in particular, opening the door to further conversation about what this really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So he asked, all of the opposing counsel, should we look at this from personal autonomy versus, I forget how he phrased it, but then the one thing I thought was particularly interesting, where he pointedly asked counsel, where in the Constitution do you find the right to an abortion? I thought that was, really pointed for Thomas.
Well, it's kind of a soft pitch, though, really, because this is an argument that's been used ad nauseum. And the response is always, well, there's no right there's no right to marriage in the Constitution either.
Yeah.
And yet even your conservative legislators created the Defense of Marriage Act. Right.
No, but it's,
so they and then they, you know, and again, the Ninth Amendment clearly says, and if I were opposing counsel, I would say the Ninth Amendment, sir.
Well, they make the 14th Amendment.
Right.
So they run immediately to the 14th Amendment. This is what's interesting, where the opposing counsel literally said it's about liberty. And you can't deprive a person of liberty without due process, which is a bizarre argument to me. Like, you're talking about this so-called medical procedure. What due process are you talking? I can't even wrap my brains around that, depriving this person of due process. What are they accused of? What are they on trial for? What are you talking about? So just a bizarre argument to me. But I thought that, what do you make of that response, Molly?
I really think he wants them to get out on a limb.
Yeah.
But Chrisann points out that question's already been posed.
Right.
And an educated answer would have not been the 14th Amendment. The educative answer would have been the Ninth Amendment.
Which what I thought was encouraging.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like he laid a trap and they walked in it. Like, you're seriously going to argue on the basis of the liberty for this lady? Like, what liberty? I would love to hear them try to articulate that. I mean, it seems like a lawyer with half a brain would be able to destroy that if that's the line of reasoning.
Well, I'll tell you what their argument is. Their argument is, by denying that woman her right to an abortion without due process, you are sentencing her to a life
trying to come up with some liberal lefty crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Because they wouldn't say it that way. But I mean, that's how we would look at it. You're sentencing me to a life of having someone dependent upon me.
We know what Obama said. I mean, that's how it was his phraseology of an accident and a burden and some nonsense like
that. So you're placing a burden.
This is what's crazy with Obama. Like, you got two daughters and a wife. Like, how do you, well, I guess wife is open for debate, but how do you, how does a father even say stuff like, I was kind of taken aback because even as much as I didn't like Obama and everything he stood for, I always looked at the guy, well, one thing you can say about this crazy liberal communist, at least he loves his family. And then he said that about children being an accident and a burden. I'm like, bro, you got two daughters. How can you even say stuff like that?
That would be his grandchild that he was saying that about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, not to get all biblical on us, but the Bible does say that in the end days, parents will lose their affection
without natural affection.
So
yeah, here we are.
You know, that is the methodology of the Antichrist, the breakdown of the family. So they are without a natural affection. And so that's where we are.
Well, all right. Believing for a great result, believing for a great awakening. I think this is going to further. I really believe it's going to further the pro-life movement. No matter what happens today is a day of victory. So
I think
I'm going to keep celebrating the rest of the day.
So I put Molly's name back up here, Molly at Susan B. Anthony List. Here's her website, sba-list.org. And I want to say the most encouraging thing to me is not that today is the beginning of something new.
No.
But that we're seeing
the
change has been happening for a long time.
Absolutely.
You don't get that many people out there. You don't get that many young people out there like that. You don't get people of differing origins of ideologies out there in a day.
Yeah. So the
this has been years in the making. And kudos to you guys.
Yes.
Because you guys have to have the credit for making sure that this stays in front of people's faces.
A massive army, years of dedicated labor. And we're seeing the results of that, I think, inside and outside the court, but especially in the crowd and the crowds of all these events throughout the year in places. We're like Molly. We go around and you see all of these different people all over the country. So we see this everywhere. We see the cultural shift in this arena all over the country, all the time.
So, Molly, do you have a final outgoing parting words message that you would like to give people? I've got the website up here so they can get you. Are you on Instagram and Facebook and all those places?
No.
Well, it's not surprising, but that's why I asked. But
yeah, I'm sure you know why, probably.
Yeah.
The one last thing I wanted to say was, in Mississippi, SBA has worked over the last year to flesh out a safety net. So if this was upheld, women have a safety net of child care, pediatricians, emergency housing. We have worked hard to flesh it out. And we didn't just do it in Mississippi, but other states that we see that could end up doing this, like Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
What's called HER Plan, and it's for the woman and the baby, and it's long-term. It's not for the first 9 months of the baby's life. It's to help someone have stability when that choice is life, because no longer can they do this after 15 weeks. And so we put our money where our mouth is by fleshing this out, and we're not relying on the government at all for any of this. We contacted private businesses, private doctors, and I'm really proud of the work that we did on that.
Well, this is awesome. Where charity should be. Charity should always be with private organizations, because government charity is not charity, it's theft. And just as I mentioned, Molly, this is going to be, if the Supreme Court goes the way with the effective and efficient argument for Mississippi, what you guys have set up there is going to be a very important part of that success.
Yeah,
because I really believe that the courts will say Because we've seen them do this. They did this with the cake baker. They've done this all the time. Okay, we're going to not do this, but we're going to tell you from this day forward, this is what you have to do. So I see them giving instructions to the states. If you're going to restrict abortion, you also have to do A, B, C, and D. And what you're talking about is exactly A, B, C, and D is what I'm saying.
Massive cultural shift.
Well, thank you, Molly. We're going to let you go while we say goodbye to the crowd. But we thank you for being with us today. And please stay in touch and make sure you let us know about that day in January so JC and I can try to be alongside you guys.
Thank you.
See you soon.
So we're still here as a guessing game. We can make, try not to do your product identification.
Not advertising.
Not advertising. We're it is at best
pickle juice.
It is at best a guessing game at this point. Speculation. Anything is speculation at this point. Now you can make your educated guess based on history. Certain judges are easy to call.
Yeah.
Kagan, Sotomayor, Breyer, Roberts. There's no mystery to these people. Gorsuch is no mystery. I think there's a strong argument that Thomas is no mystery. I cannot see Alito going with Kagan and Sotomayor. I don't think that would ever happen, even on his worst day. So we're going to have to see how Kavanaugh and Barrett side with this. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the day.
I don't see how Barrett lives with herself.
Yeah, well.
I just don't
again,
see
Again, I'm not going to.
I'm with you. I get it.
There are so.
Unreliable.
There are so many factors that I am not comfortable talking about with Barrett.
But what's.
That I know.
But you know
who she is.
But what's interesting is it's the conservatives who you don't know.
Right.
Right.
Well, because
the leftists are so political.
Right.
You can almost lock them in. You know what they're going to do.
Right.
But the other side tries to brand the conservatives that, oh, it's the conservative court and they're going to go this way, this way, this way. And it doesn't happen.
No.
They share the same ideology or philosophy. You share the same philosophy. But this is the thing about the so-called conservative side, again, for lack of a better term, those of us in the conservative circle, it's not a lockstep groupthink.
Well, here's the problem,
ideology.
JC.
So you don't know where
the premise is false from the get-go. What in the heck does conservative mean?
No, I get that.
But that is the underlying thing. You can't call somebody something if you have no definition, and they have no definition. Okay.
No.
So if you want to be very clear about this. Conservative is
let's
not.
Let's call them the not leftist.
Yeah, the not leftist.
The not leftist.
Okay. So,
right? but those who are not those who they say are not part of their side.
Yeah.
Right. We're supposed to be the ones intolerant, and here's the checkbox of everything you believe in. You know, you're a racist. You're against women. Da 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 da. You're going to decide this way. You're going to decide that way. Well, isn't it interesting that those of us who are supposed to be so dogmatic, intolerant, are the ones. You don't know where they're going to be.
That's the name call they make.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
You look at the left, so everything they say about the not left is actually true about them. You're the ones who are predictable because of your groupthink. We don't have to guess where you're going to go, right?
Right.
So on the other hand, at least they're ideologically consistent.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe those they call conservatives are just more confused and less. Well, confused, probably not a better word. I think left is confused, but less. To me, it's just less groupthink. We're not in lockstep with some mantra, some dictated narrative. That's who they are. So it's just interesting to me that the ones who are called conservatives are the ones that are really the ones unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to do. And I mean, Barrett's a great example. What we've seen from her work. Is her bowing to precedent. When you look at her personal life, right? Everybody was leaning on her apparent personal life. She's this Catholic, she's, conservative, Christian, whatever. Like she's supposed to be hugely more conservative, staunchly pro-life. You know, she's gonna side with the church all the time. She's gonna side with any religious case. She's gonna side with religionists and whatever. And it's not been the case. She's not been reliable in religious liberty cases. We know that. But the one thing it seems like she's been consistent on is the precedent issue. And they never make arguments about the Constitution. Like, how should we follow the Constitution? To them and people like Barrett, it's always about what did previous justices say? What did previous courts say? So they bow to the cult of the expert, the cult of the courts.
I also believe that another factor that is a psychological factor with Amy Coney Barrett that I've seen in her actual responses. Remember, she was labeled as a religious zealot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of she's having a galvanic reaction to that. I'm going to be, you know, sort of
go out of my way.
So out of my way to be not even religious, not even neutral, but not religious.
Right.
I'm going to go out of my way to be not religious so they can't accuse me of being driven by religion.
Which is another.
I think she wants to be viewed as a neutral person, but cannot accept the fact that she is not.
Which is another apparent surprise or contradiction, because that indicates a lack of character. And everything in her personal story would attest otherwise, right?
So in her personal life, but not in her judicial record.
Well,
you cannot look at her judicial record and find judicial character. Okay.
Right. Well, it's concealed. If you just lockstep follow precedent, then really your character is not revealed.
But she doesn't lockstep follow precedent
she's following popular opinion and image is what it seems.
Right. Well, if you look at her judicial record. Okay, is what I when I did her analysis during her confirmation hearings, she uses precedent as an excuse. Okay, so she is married to precedent because it fits her convenience. She doesn't have a judicial integrity. She's very much a person of.
No, that would make sense. You don't have to have a backbone if you're hiding behind other people's decisions. Because really, precedent means you don't have to make the decision. You're depending on previous decisions. So you never actually have to stand up for
it. It's not even that, JC. It's even more than that. It's my desired outcome is backed by this opinion. Therefore, it's this opinion that I'm relying on, and it has nothing to do with my desired outcome. Hiding how she wants to be an activist judge through the use of precedent. I don't know if I'm articulating that well, but this is what I'm trying to explain to you. When you look at her judicial record, okay, her judicial record, you watch the arguments and you know because you read the papers that she's written. Okay, this is the big tell. Not just necessarily the opinions, but the papers that and the journals that she's written where she's taken a stand on a case, okay, or taken a stand on an issue. You have to watch how she so craftily manipulates the use of precedent to be an activist judge. Without being activist. I'm going to tell you, there are certain things that I have discovered about Amy Coney Barrett. Number one, she wants to appear to be judicious and neutral. Number two, she has certain ideological agendas. Number three, she is incredibly brilliant. She is and has mastered the art of the argument, and she is able to conceal her ideological intent through a manipulation and argument of precedent. So she is a slave to precedent in a way that she is dependent upon precedent to create the argument that she wants as the outcome.
So let me get this straight. You're not very high on Barrett.
Look, I'm going to tell you what, right? Here's my thing. Be you. Don't lie about it. Don't be deceptive. Don't be disingenuous. I actually have more respect for somebody like Kagan and Sotomayor than somebody who wants to be seen differently than they are. Be who you are and let the chips fall as they may. That's cowardice, by the way. Kagan and Sotomayor, they have more courage than somebody who wants to be an activist, who works and manipulates the system to be an activist, and then says, no, I'm not. I'm a constitutionalist. Okay. So that is Roberts.
Right.
That is Roberts. That is cowardice. And so I hope that Barrett, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, JC. You know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. But no, I don't see Barrett. I respect her as a woman. I respect her as a mother. She's done great things for her family. But from a judicial perspective, I don't think she has a great deal of judicial integrity.
Yeah. No, that's one of the sad things that I saw in the whole process of how easily manipulated the religious right.
Yeah.
You just kind of throw a label up there of this is a religious person. Oh yeah, then we're for that one then.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really make a sustained analysis of their history, their resume, you know, their own words, who they are,
mm-hmm.
in relation to the job that you're putting them into. And so I thought that was very sad in the midst of that, as you, because you took a lot of flack as you were reading her own words to people, citing her own cases to people.
Yeah.
And you were attacked by the religious right.
No, everybody can change,
Sure.
I mean, she can have an epiphany. She can have a change in her life. She can do these things.
Well, that's those of us who claim not to be tribal.
Right.
Being very tribal.
Right. Exactly.
You put a collar on it, or
right.
Put a cross on it. Oh, we're for that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, good job. You know, Joseph Stalin went to seminary, just FYI.
Right. Right. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. I hope that we've been a help to you, to help you understand some of this stuff. Let me mention to you at chrisannhall.com. Let me go ahead and show you something really important here. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen with you as we go out. This is chrisannhall.com. So go to the shop section right here. Go to the video downloads right here. Check this out. The very first video download is an introduction to judiciary. If you want a better understanding of what JC and I have been talking about today, about number one, how this is not even an issue that the federal judiciary should be involved in. If you want to have a better understanding of the role of the federal judiciary, how these kinds of cases are going to be decided, go here to the shop, click on the video download section. The very first one is an introduction to judiciary. Now, let me mention to you, this download is actually a class at libertyfirstsociety.com. Now, libertyfirstsociety.com, that's the wrong one. libertyfirstsociety.com is our online training where you can get all of this training, video lessons, textbooks, activism boot camp, exclusive films that we're coming out with. The class on the judiciary can be found along with dozens of other classes on the federal government, on the Constitution here at libertyfirstsociety.com. So you can download the video at chrisannhall.com shop, or it's the same price, similar price. You can get all of our courses at libertyfirstsociety.com. So this is what we want to give you as a tool so that you can better understand what's happening in the world around you and be smarter than the pundits and the politicians who are trying to deceive you.
Awesome.
All right. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Don't forget to like and share. share it now. And remember, when you're watching, leave your comments below, because the more comments you leave, you help others understand why they want to watch the show. And as we exit out today, as we always do, I will ask you to please leave your comments about what you liked about the show. What did you find most valuable, most educational, most powerful to put in your knowledge box?
See you next time.
See you so much. God bless.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with a government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.
Christians have to be involved in politics. God commands it.
Every turn of event through history hinged.
One person will stand up.
Upon a single person.
And then everybody else will stand.
A gym member surrounded by a crowd of supporters was placed in handcuffs.
A Tampa Bay pastor has been arrested.
Sentenced to a week in jail.
She also tore up a cease and desist letter.
We have a posterity waiting for us to say, we will not comply, so you will be free. We have a chance to fight without bloodshed. But every time we comply, we establish a future where our children will not have that option. Why do we sit down when all should